Genug vom täglichen Grind. Spiele Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 und 4 und grinde, als wär's 2002. Ein legendäres Remake der Originalspiele mit neuen Parks, krasseren Tricks, plattformübergreifendem Multiplayer und abgefahrenen neuen Spielmodi. Hol dir das neue Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 und 4 und zeig der Welt, der Shred stirbt nie. Jetzt vorbestellen auf tonyhawkthegame.com/playnow. Verfügbar ab dem 11. Juli.
Wusstest du schon, dass du bei Trivago bis zu 100 Euro pro Nacht bei deinem Hotel sparen kannst? Ganz genau. Geh einfach auf trivago.de, vergleiche Preise von hunderten Seiten auf einen Blick und finde das passende Angebot für dich. Hotel? Trivago.
What's the matter with your life? Why you gotta mess with mine? Don't keep sweating what I do, cause I'm gonna be just fine. Check it out if I wanna take a dive.
Good evening. Harmontown is now in session. Tonight it is my 40th birthday. Join me in welcoming to the stage my old dear friend, the mayor of Harmontown, Mr. Dan Harmon.
Hey, you. Guest comptroller Aaron McGathy as Jeff Davis tonight.
Hello.
This Jeff Davis costume is, it involves so much more than necessary. It seems like there's a widow's peak you drew with a magic marker, like he's Eddie Munster. And you seem to have, like, bronzer all over your face.
I do have bronzer all over my face. Well, here's the thing. I'll address the widow's peak. I made a very elaborate cake of Jeff's face today. I carved his face out of Rice Krispie Treats and covered it with fondant. And I discovered that he has a widow's peak because I was staring at pictures of him all day.
By the way, have you seen Widow's Peak with Julia Roberts and... Kenneth Branagh?
Yeah, the ending.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's weird to have
aliens.
If you're
right?
Going to have aliens in the movie, yeah, why the last 10 minutes? But,
is that an actual movie?
No.
Oh, okay, good. So good.
Yeah, Widow's Peak.
Widow's Peak.
Kenneth Branagh, whoever
great.
Else
like
I said.
Like a horror romantic comedy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the poster is just a mountain and then two eyes above it. but then down at the bottom, it's a shot of Kenneth Branagh and Julia Roberts kind of running.
Loneliness is deadliness.
Yeah.
Widow's Peak.
Love is never receding.
I mean, it's not supposed to be a receding hairline. Like, he has a widow's peak, which is a genetic... Clap your hands if you have a widow's peak. It's a specific thing. You do, sir. Clap your hands. You too, clap your hands. It's not... A widow's peak is in... I remember in science, in seventh grade science, we talked about a widow's peak... A widow's peak being a recessive gene. Anyway, the reason why I'm wearing bronzer is because I put this costume... I know this is shocking. I put this costume together very quickly. and when I put it on, with this black hair, I just reminded myself of me as like a fat 17-year-old with black hair, and I put this on just so I didn't look like that anymore.
You just started rubbing dirt on your face to escape.
Yeah. I mean, it's supposed to be contours, but really I was like, oh, Jesus, no. What's going on? Anyway.
All right. Well, it's a very special show because it's Jeff's birthday, and
it is Jeff's birthday.
Not here, so he wants, you know, he's celebrating his birthday elsewhere. And
yes.
But we're gonna
celebrate Jeff.
We're gonna give him the gift / passive aggressive taunt of having a great show for his birthday. back by popular demand, I want to bring him up right away, Mr. Rob Schraub. Yeah, man. Yeah, people on the Reddit. They
popular demand.
That they liked you.
What did they say?
They like our timing together. We've known each other a long time. And,
right. Say that again. What did they like about our?
They like our timing.
Timing? Did they like the?
it seems like the audience is in a really good mood tonight, and I think I know why.
We'll fix that real quick.
They got to stay home and watch Breaking Bad, and they got to miss 2 hours of me apparently just suggesting pedophiles are great people. I haven't listened to it.
They're definitely nice.
In true fashion, I kind of
come over.
I always make about 85% of my point, and
have
then I just
some Pepsi.
I actually saw on
Put
the Harmontown subreddit, and this is a really fascinating, weird thing. There was an actual. I haven't been going near it. I've been so busy, and I.
You haven't been going near what the illegal
the Harmontown subreddit.
Oh, okay. Because
I didn't want to read a bunch of people saying like, "What's your point? Do you love pedophiles?" But I did notice skimming that there was actually a self-identified pedophile that actually came forward, albeit anonymously, and said, you know, I don't have any control over what I am and stuff like that. I just
aww.
I was like,
what,
I'm not making any judgment one way or the other. However, I would say that my point that I was trying to make is that when we get, yeah, it's oh, God, fuck it, whatever. I don't want to.
This is an inappropriate question, but did that guy have a sense of humor about himself? And if so, what was his handle?
Yeah, was it adamantium? What was it? I mean, did it?
I don't remember.
Yeah,
I threw a now and
could
then.
I'm sorry to jump. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't have anything anyway.
This is really fast. I threw a
your
now.
Cake and cake was great, by the way.
Thank you. I threw a now and then party a few weeks ago for some girlfriends. When Now and Then was a movie that came out in 1995. Yeah, woo. And so in the spirit of that, I printed up a bunch of like posters of heartthrobs from 1995, from when I was that old, which I guess is 11, when I was 11. And I felt like I printed them all out and didn't think about anything until I was taping up a picture of like an 8-year-old Devon Sawa in overalls and like around the house. Just posters of like prepubescent boys all over the house. And Dan and I have a really nice woman who comes every so often and cleans
she
the house.
What?
She comes and cleans the house, and I forgot to take down all these posters. So she walked into this room with just like little boys with overalls and boys leaning up against brick walls. Remember when that was a thing?
Which she was able to add to her mental sort of journal of our relationship, because before I was going out with Aaron. When we were still platonic.
And it was just you, me, and Jeff hanging out 24/7.
And then, you know, you would crash at my place a lot, but then the nights that you would come over, you would put on this mustache that I had.
Because Jeff put it on me a while, like before. The dumb detail. But.
And so you liked having the mustache on and doing bits. And, she really liked having the mustache on. spirit glue.
Bit.
And it made her really happy.
It's a good bit.
And a happy woman is a sexy woman, so I was attracted to a mustachioed woman.
So did you? Okay, so is this leading to, like, after Jeff, like, why don't you keep it on?
Well, I just my housekeeper Sophia came one morning came in and we
cleaned the room.
We had passed out in the living room, and I just remember like me bolting up from the sofa as Aaron bolted up from elsewhere in the living room with this mustache on. We were in two different spots in the living room, both like sitting up, going, "Huh? It's 8:30," and like she just and then sometimes. Sophia would find the mustache just laying around, and she would carefully put it in a little drawer.
The drawer, it's important to note where the drawer was, which is next to the bed.
Yeah. She knows.
She always put it in the little box next to the bed because she was
Did she clean it?
Did she clean it? She combed it. She put it on a parchment paper.
Oh, I hate my life. Oh, it's so bad.
Our next guest is the president of Mexico. He's a member of Mensa.
Shit, he's gonna.
He's been given a Nobel Prize recently for being a human being.
Dan and Rob, have either of you ever been to a baby shower?
Yeah, JD Riznar's.
Yeah, we were at a baby shower. We were at a co-ed baby shower.
Yeah, we were at a co-ed baby shower.
We found out why they don't invite men to this.
Yeah,
thing.
Because we went. What was it like?
Everyone was just drunk and they were just shouting.
We thought it. I think without even communicating, we were like ants, like communicating. Like this would be funny if we all got really like
bellicose,
jockey. Like the next time someone gives diapers, let's just hit the roof.
Yeah,
like, it was just like, yeah, man, yeah. Right on. And just like, and all the women were like,
yeah. It's traditional at baby showers to play little games that go on throughout the night. Were there any games at that baby shower?
Is this leading to a game?
Tonight is Jeff Davis's 40th birthday. And if you listen to the podcast, you know that Jeff always looks at the clock at exactly 9:11. I've covered up the clock.
Oh,
genius.
Both of you, I've made a cake with a clock on the top that's at 9/11. And
that was like a haiku. Both of you, I made a cake.
Would you?
It was at 9/11.
Do you eat the cake or do you throw it away? Is the rest of the haiku? But like, that's an extended haiku.
Snow on the windsill.
So both of you are going to pick, if you could really fast, pick a proxy who you're going to be playing for. Because at 9/11, I have a clock in front of me. When you think it's 9/11, the person who gets closest to the actual 9/11, your proxy will win a cake.
Oh, okay. So it's like playing for charity. Well, then I'll take Anatoly. He seems like really... Wait, you... Well, you were pointing at Anatoly?
Well, we got the same kind of
plan. Right, you're
sitting right in front of me, and you totally ganked him from me.
Okay, all right,
there's a nice fellow over there.
Were you sitting next to Anatoly? Did you come with him?
Okay. Yeah, I did. Yeah, man.
Would you consider yourself his nemesis? All right. Like the American version of Anatoly? In a pre-Cold War or pre-end of...
Interestingly enough, can Anatoly be Rav's proxy? And, I'm sorry, what was...
Phil says Anatoly.
Oh, I see. Okay. I'm sorry, what was your name again? We've met. Kurt. I thought so. Okay, hello. So, Kurt, if you could, just really quick, you guys, it's the same color scheme. Anatoly, if you could stand next to Rob, and Kurt, if you could stand next to Dan really quick, just so you guys can see.
I mean, come on.
That these are exact proxies.
All right.
All right, thank you, fellas. Sit down.
He was gonna make me feel bad for picking the obvious choice.
No hints from the audience. Here's the rule. If you say it too soon, a Price is Right. Price is Right. I almost said Price or Right. Price is Right rules.
I hate playing games. I hate games. I hate games. I hate games. I've always hated games.
I hate them now more than ever,
and I hate games. I hate sports and games.
And I mean, and
anything where there's a winner or loser, I absolutely hate.
This is just a thing
you're
that's
making
just
me do this
going
again.
On in the background.
This is just, yeah. This is in the background. It's not going
Guess
to affect
what?
The show.
It's a game.
The person who guesses it.
Don't
if you,
like it. Never like games.
If you guess before.
I hate games.
If you guess before it's 9/11.
What? It's a game.
Then you're disqualified. Closest person after.
It's a game.
Let's continue.
Okay. And if you guess after.
You lose.
The quickest person after.
The terrorist win.
Whatever. Games. I hate them.
Do you hate that game? The war on terror?
If there's a winner or a loser, I do not like it.
So you don't want us to fight the war on terror?
I don't want anybody to win or lose. I just want
well,
us
you
to
heard
all
it here,
have a good time and smoke a J, man. Let's just sit back and watch some fucking afternoon television and just smoke a J. Why don't we all smoke J's? Then we wouldn't be bombing so many people. Yeah. If the government would just smoke a J, it wouldn't be shut down, right? It'd be all
how many J's
stoned.
Would you say you smoke daily? How many J's? What's
how many J's? Man, I smoke a whole alphabet of J's.
So one J?
So one J. So a whole alphabet's worth of J's. maybe an alphabet and a half, okay? If you stop after J.
I had a murder mystery birthday party.
Hate
for my
games. Hate them.
Rob,
Hated that game too, but it's over
with. Yes, well, I had a murder mystery birthday party, and Rob was like, is it okay if I come a little late? I'm working. And he came just a little too late and got murdered immediately upon entering. Like, didn't
and you know
play,
why?
And he had to lay
the whole flat. Time, the whole time I'm like going, and I'm going to Harmon. I said, I'm going to show up, and this is why I fucking hate games, is because I always, whether you're playing Werewolf or Scrabble or Sorry or 9/11 game or whatever, it's like, all right, I'm going to do it. Whoa. And then it's like out of the gate. Okay, the first one to get, whether it's paintball or whatever, it's just like the first person to die and sit in the corner and watch everybody have a good time is me.
All right. Well, speaking of games, I have a
Jesus!
Game. Rob and I came over here together, and I was...
And I game with The Cure, apparently.
He jumped in the car, and he was like, this outfit. And I was like, yeah. And then it wasn't until I looked in the mirror in the bathroom here, I was like, oh, my God, I look like shit. I look terrible. So...
All right. This episode of Harmontown is brought to you by Fulton and Rourke. Jeff, you're sick of spilling all your colognes all over the place. You hate liquid colognes, is that correct?
It's my nemesis. It's the thing that gives me nightmare dreams all night long.
I can't remember how many times I've walked in on you just covered in sticky, wet cologne.
I have traveled and broken a bottle of the cologne that I wear, and then my luggage smells like a French whorehouse for the rest of time.
Yeah. But Fulton and Rourke is a men's fragrance and grooming company that specializes in solid colognes, shave, and shower products, all designed to make getting ready easier and more enjoyable.
Now, when you say solid colognes, do you mean like solid in the jazz sense? Like, wow, that jazz solo was solid.
You know, I do mean that, but I also mean physically solid as well.
Oh, like a little... Like, you're talking about a wax-based cologne that travels in a little small package that I can't spill all over my luggage and smell like a Mexican tit house. So these are travel-friendly, wax-based colognes that can go anywhere?
Plus, there's nothing to break or spill, and of course, they all smell fantastic.
Fantastic.
Like a Mexican tit house.
I mean, there's different levels of Mexican tit house. I mean, there's the high-quality ones, there's the ones that you wish you didn't go to.
Right.
Yeah.
Titas Fantasticos.
Is one of their fragrances called Mexican tit house?
Yeah.
Que Fantastico.
Fulton & Rourke's bar soap is designed to exfoliate the skin with or without a washcloth.
Also, you don't even have to touch it. It comes and does it in the night.
Well, that's amazing. That's literally unbelievable.
Did you know, Spencer, that GQ magazine just named their shave cream the very best on the market today?
Well, yeah, of course I knew that. Why would you ask?
I mean, who am I asking? I mean, this guy, you go to his house... It's like an episode of Hoarders. So many back issues of GQ magazine there.
Right. And I got to tell you, my house is made out of bricks of cologne.
Wax-based cologne, I hope.
Yeah.
Try it yourself at FultonandRourke.com and save 15% off your purchase by using the code FERAL, F-E-R-A-L, at checkout.
That's FERAL at checkout.
Smell good for once, you fucking bums.
Fulton and Rourke, get your smelling good.
Fulton and Rourke, time to get your stink on.
Off.
Get your bad stink off and get your good stink on.
Fulton and Rourke.
Not by Menon. Different corporation.
By Fulton and Rourke.
I made up my mind that we were going to play D&D for a really long time tonight. But even if we don't do that, I at least want to get Spencer up here earlier than usual.
Let's bring up Spencer.
Here's another thing. Welcome, Spencer. Here's another
what?
Thing I noticed, because I, of course...
What's happening?
Wait a minute, what?
Really quick.
What was that? Was that my playoff music?
No,
I was talking too long. I didn't even get that.
I accidentally updated my iPod, and my only playlist is...
You have a giant iPod.
No, it's just Breaking Bad music and TLC right now.
TLC, like Left Eye? And
yeah. Like, what's a natural phenomenon you shouldn't go after?
Waterfalls?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Are we playing a game right now? Because I have a
because it is Jeff's 40th birthday, I do have a Jeff game for the three of you to play.
All right.
Oh, shit.
Is it like a 5-minute game or like
It was like, I don't know, 90 minutes. We don't have to play it if you don't want to.
Is it like questions about Jeff?
No.
Is this? Yeah, that would be weird.
It'd be like, are you going to?
It'd be like a three-way newlywed game.
Let me see if Spencer's a conversational goldmine before we go into this game.
I'd like to think so.
Spencer, I just heard about your parents' divorce. I'm sorry.
Yeah, whatever. I mean,
maybe it's personal.
I'm not.
He announced it. Well, I only heard about it because I just listened to last week's show before the show.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was more a public concern because it turns out it was Spencer's fault.
Yeah. I really screwed the pooch.
Did they try to abort you?
Yeah, and I've been now? Getting them back ever since.
How's your...
dice.
How's your...
Well, let me tell you, Rob. This dice... I don't know. My
how's
dice.
How's your job as my assistant going?
It's so good. It's so great. It's the only thing I don't like is that I feel like I'm worthless and that I don't do my job right because a lot
it's
of
so
it,
easy.
Yeah, that's why. It's because a lot of it's just sitting down and...
Well, why don't you clean my car? Whenever you find yourself feeling like that, just go clean my car.
Clean his car.
This is the kind of dialogues that we need to have. Yeah.
This is the kind of dialogue I need to not have because it makes me feel like an elitist prick telling someone to clean his car. I need you to go, shit, I got nothing to do.
There's a lot
of clean that motherfucker's car.
There's a lot of Baja Fresh wrappers in the back. I should probably take care of those.
My car gets really messy too, so yeah. I think it's just because I don't think about it because I don't think about cleaning.
Robert, who are you doing an impression of?
Of me.
That was Spencer.
Yeah.
Oh, check out all the Baja Fresh wrappers in the back.
That's really
I should
good.
Probably take care of these and maybe get
sound
rid
like
of...
Sound like Thomas Hayden Church.
Maybe I'll have to get rid of these Baja Fresh wrappers in the back. They're stuck like two shoeboxes deep back, you know? It's like, how is anybody supposed to sit back here?
Hey, can I ask you guys a question?
Sure. Ask Spencer.
It's about poop.
Is this about hot snakes?
Is that what you
Cox?
Call poop?
I just learned about something called hot snakes today.
Oh. Poop?
It's apparently it's a shape of poop, I guess. I thought I might be lactose intolerant, and I brought it up to my friend Nolan, and he's like, "You got hot snakes?" And I'm like, "What?" And he's like, "You must not be." And I'm like, "That doesn't mean any. You just said things and then diagnosed me." I don't know.
Christopher Nolan?
No, Nolan Fabricius.
Nolan, stand up. What's up? So,
Nolan is wearing a jean jacket and some tasteless glasses.
What's a hot snake?
It's just a kind of poop you get if you drink milk with weak stomach acid. Like hot and regular poop and it's real.
Isn't it?
I brought it up. I only.
All right, Nolan, get on the mic. Come on down.
Aren't all poops snakes and aren't they all hot
right?
Because of? Hey man,
hit
you haven't
switch,
seen
Nolan.
Mine.
This is why it's hard to explain. It's like it's condescending. It's like if you've been there, you know.
No
snakes resonate with anyone. Please.
Defining poop
I'm
is never condescending.
Up here.
No matter.
Bill, are you serious? Dude, thanks, man. Thank you.
It's important to note that that Nolan is holding a bottle of alcohol.
Yeah.
Also,
just saying.
Also, the Canadian tuxedo.
What?
Double denims.
So Dan, what is your poop question?
Okay, I don't know if I want Nolan up here when I do it.
Okay, get it.
All right, Nolan, go sit down.
Thanks for everything, you guys.
Thank you, Nolan.
Thanks, Nolan.
Hot snake.
Hot snake.
He seems like a good young man. You seems like you're rolling with a good crowd.
Selling like hot snakes.
Wait, really quick, Nolan, is that your own term or is that a common expression, hot snakes?
Me and my friends from where I'm from
regional
we all just
thing.
Understood what it meant.
Okay. All right. Dan's poop question.
Mine doesn't have to do with the actual content. It has to do with scheduling.
I've got an answer for this.
For as long as I can remember now, and this is not something I'm complaining about at all, I think this might be a superpower that I have. every time that I eat, I poop.
No, that's good. That's great.
I know it's not the food that I just ate because that's ridiculous. But no. It always seems like that. I have an English muffin and then I
like a half hour later.
No, God, no, not a half hour later.
Like, okay, so you're
like
saying
immediately? No, while not you're while eating. I'm eating.
Are you saying you're not saying the obvious thing that everything you eat you poop out? Right,
that's
you're saying like
that's
when
the,
I
that's
eat.
The cartoon illusion that happens because of what's happening is I just have perfect synchronization, I guess. Like I'm always filled with food, and then I put one like meal in my mouth,
right.
And then it moves everything down, and
you're,
one
you're
poop comes out.
You're chewing your bowels. I mean, it's psychological.
It's like
every time your tongue tastes like sugar and salt. It's like time to get it going. Like it's like a stopper.
Are you using the editorial you, or are you telling me how my
you Dan Harmon
me personally?
Yeah.
So I'm
like other people are cued by like Maury's on. Or, I mean, I don't really like talking about my bathroom business, but
you like to let it do its talking for you.
I mean, before I have like a big thing happening,
shit coming out of your ass.
When I started doing improv, I got really. I got really superstitious about pooping before a show because I would get nervous and then I would poop before a show and then have a great show.
Whether those two things are related.
Well, it's just like it's psychological. Yeah, I don't know.
I think
whatever.
It's perfect to poop right as you eat. Like I've always wanted to do that because you know it's just you got it's like clockwork. You got garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
It's on a cycle. It's synchronized. It sounds like I've honestly wanted to do that.
Totally. It's obviously psychological.
Do you have any tips?
Yeah.
I think I've just wandered into some kind of perfect. I just don't want to screw
Spencer,
it up.
Spencer, what's your poop cue?
Well, in the morning it sucks because like I have to go pee in the morning. That happens to people. But like I always have to go pee and then go poop, but I only have to go poop like 50 minutes after I go pee, and it's like in the morning when I'm trying to sleep, so I got to get up to go to the bathroom twice, and that just kills any chance I have of getting back to sleep in the morning.
Just resist it.
Nope.
Somebody asked me like a couple of weeks ago, like, what's some advice on, you know, directing? And I said, you know, do a shot list, whether you need it or not. Your crew thinks you're working. Always, talk to your actors. And the most important thing, take a shit before you leave the house in the morning, because shitting on set is like the most disgusting thing in the world. It's terrible. So every morning before I go on set, like I won't force myself to take a shit because that sounds like it. But I mean, my brain is like, okay, you gotta take a shit now.
So your poop cue is needing to be on set.
Yeah, there is a definite like scare if I for some reason miss it, like I get up super early and I forget to shit, like I'm driving, I'll be panicking. Because I have a love-hate relationship with my ass. I've talked about this before on the show. And if I go to number two, I need to be clean the rest of the day. So I'll jump in the shower usually to clean it off. You can't do that when you're on set.
He's obsessive about his butt.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And I've known this.
Why did it get all real quiet in here? Is everybody leaning in or leaning back? I don't understand.
I mean, Rob, I've known about your anal obsession for a while.
It's not an anal obsession. I like to be clean.
But my question is, like, when you clean yourself in the shower, and I've thought this before, and I've never had the gumption to ask you, do you bend over like the Copper Tone Girl, or what do you do?
No. I mean, like, I, at one point, I had the snake.
The hot snake?
Don't use a hot snake.
Is that what you meant? Yeah, I had like the shower snake, and that got like unhealthy. Which, go back to podcast.
You scalded yourself.
You scalded myself.
And you went to the doctor.
Went to the doctor, and the doctor was like, oh my God, what the fuck did you do to your ass? And I was like, "What? What are you talking about?" And then he, I was like all coy about it. Really? Is there something wrong with
But you
it?
Were flattered that he noticed?
Yeah.
What do you mean? This whole thing?
Yeah. I just threw this together, you know? No big deal.
When I was 10 years old, my family went camping in Alabama, and when you go... Camp, it was a campground where there was a shower that was like a communal shower, and I was 9 or 10 years old, and I went and I was taking a shower by myself, and
good.
I was taking a shower by myself. There. Granted, there was my uncle was there and was asking me to pretend like I was surfing, but I was mostly by myself. Thank you. Adam said nice reference. It was a reference to a...
Silver Surfer?
Smart guy.
A smart guy to the sitcom Smart Guy, where there's a pedophile episode and he asks a kid to take his shirt off and pretend like he's surfing. Anyway.
There was a Different Strokes pedophile episode when I was your age. And it was Gordon Jump from WKRP was the pedophile, and he took Dudley and Arnold into the bathroom, and they played Poseidon. Neptune.
The Kurt Russell one, or
Kurt Russell? No, it was Gordon Jump.
Oh, okay. I mean Poseidon.
Good reference.
Oh, Jesus Christ, you guys. I mean, all I wanted to do was play D&D.
That was very.
So you went camping. I can't believe you're telling this story. This is amazing.
I went camping, and I was in the shower. I was there by myself, and I had to poop very badly. And there was a drain there. And you know when you're a kid, maybe I was younger than 10. No, it was certainly 10. and I saw the drain there. I had to poop very badly, and I just didn't understand the physics of poop and a drain. And so I squatted down and pooped on the drain. And there was like a solid... poop, like a solid log on top of the drain.
A cold snake.
You were hoping for a bunch of baby snakes to come out and find their own hole.
I just thought it would wash away the same way that like pee did in an ocean, or like. But I pooped in the drain, and I finished my shower and like wouldn't go away, and I was just like, I'll leave it there. It's fine. And I went back to join my family, and a couple hours later. My mom and I are doing something. We're making dinner, and she goes to the bathroom. She comes back disgusted, and it's like, some animal, some monster went and defecated. My mother was very waspy. Defecated in the shower and didn't clean up after themselves. What animal? They should like was going on and on about like I don't know where they were raised and what their values are. McGathy's, we would never. And I'm just sitting there like baking or doing, not baking, on a campsite. I'm sitting there fixing the television. I'm doing something, and I'm just listening to her go on and on about how our family is better than other families because the guilt, like just this weight. And when she was done, I was like, Mom, it was me. I pooped. Pooped in the shower.
It's interesting. When you're young, you don't. That's actually a very interesting, like, because you don't.
A reflex to that, yeah.
You don't understand like how things like. You don't understand physics, you know, like how, because in your mind, yeah. You have a cartoon of it going.
But when I pooped my pants when I was a kid, and I just took my underwear. I knew I wasn't supposed to do it, but, so I took my dirty underwear and I opened the window to my bedroom and I just threw them out because I thought that outside was like the garbage, and I thought the garbage was magic.
Probably because you were walking around and you know, walking home from school, and you saw, oh, there's a shoe there. There's a piece of
yeah, exactly.
There's like a sock there, and you go, well,
people pooped it.
Somebody. I also
my mom point. Eventually goes like, did you poop your pants? I'm like, no, absolutely not.
And it's on her head like a hat. She was mowing the lawn.
She poop your pants.
She's holding a pair of hedge trimmers and a grimace. You know. And I'm putting on airs like I'm Alec Baldwin in the hearing in Malice. You know, I'm all cocky about it. No, I did not poop. A God complex? I'm God.
Yeah. a year later, I was walking home from soccer practice, and I had like accidentally peed my pants before, just like every kid does. And I was...
How old?
11 or 12. Too old. Walking home from soccer practice, walking with my neighbor, and like I had to pee really badly, and I was just wearing soccer shorts and a soccer jersey. And because, like, from experience, like, oh, if I pee a little in my pants, no one really knows. And I had to pee so bad.
True.
And I was like, I'll just let it go. And I just peed all over my shoes.
What? You did a gesture for the podcast. Erin just did a gesture from her shoulders.
Yeah.
Well, I pee out of my neck. You guys pee out of your neck. Right?
Like, what?
Did it go like up, she's or? An Aunt Jemima bottle full
wow.
of pee.
Wow.
I just emptied myself.
That's a healthy pee.
From the top of my spout to...
And a strong sweatshirt.
But just with my... Just, and I know that my friend and my neighbor noticed, but just, like, had the... Like, allowed me to save face enough to not mention it, but I peed all over my shorts and on the ground. There's a trail. There's a river behind me. And she was just like, so, are you watching Saved by the Bell later? Or like, what's going on? Like, just walking home, just pee all over myself. Then to that poop story is that my mom made me go in and watch me clean it up.
Wow.
I mean, R.I.P.
That's a pretty strong family. I mean, I'm very impressed by your being 10 years old and having all of that pressure actually to lie. I mean, the path of least resistance there, and also like actually, I mean, you knew you were going to really disappoint your mom by telling her that she was making it extra apparent.
That's interesting. Because
and then you told, but you wanted to tell her out of guilt, which is really interesting. Probably your dad's a pastor. Maybe there's a different force there. I know my parents. Like my mom would get, my mom would say, "Do I have to get out the Bible?" It was a deal breaker for me. And no matter how fucking cold to rights I had my alibi, like she had established this concept that if you lie while you put your hand on the Bible, you go to hell. And not only go to hell, but my mom would show me articles about. This is going to make my mom sound like some kind of crazy character from Justified, but I take that back. She didn't show me articles. She told me about articles. She said in the news there's this thing called spontaneous combustion. Have you ever heard of that? The people will just be walking down the street, they'll just burst into flames. Why do you think that happens? So I think we figured out later that spontaneous combustion is people that fell asleep in a room with no airflow with a cigarette in their hand, and it basically like there's a set of circumstances that causes the body to not to burst into flames. It just they call it spontaneous combustion because you don't find the body until it's like basically like sort of smoldered for a month. And so when you find it, it looks like this. It looks like someone that just must have exploded into flames.
I don't think that's why they call it spontaneous combustion, though.
What do you mean?
Because it's because they spontaneously burst into flames without any, you know, fire.
Well, that's what they think. It's like crib death.
Yeah, but it's not. But you were saying they call it spontaneous combustion because you don't find them until a month later. That's not why.
So are you talking to your parents about?
Okay, I meant they call it spontaneous combustion even though they never actually saw a person spontaneously combust.
Yeah, definitely.
What they would find is like these half charred carcasses that when you look at the crime scene or whatever it is, it looks like spontaneous combustion occurred. It wasn't spontaneous. It was a slow rendering of body fat over the course of a month friends or no support system.
Isn't that like an industrial age idea or like a post Edwardian? Like it has like was partnered with. Just your mom calling it news, that's all. I know she didn't say... I know that in the Milwaukee Times, they didn't say...
You don't anyway. Have to attack my mom.
I peed my pants 2 years ago.
This is another heroic story.
This is a very
This is about you taking back the night.
Yeah, because... This is, you know, all these stories about, like, this oppression of, like, children, like... If you're caught peeing in your pants, like, children are awful. Like, they'll go, look at Robbie, he peed his pants. And the teachers are going, you peed your pants. And the mom goes,
what does Jack Nicholson
you peed
do?
Your pants. You peed your pants, man.
What does Amerigo Vespucci do? Go.
Oh, man, you peed your pants.
What does Susan, what is Susan Sarandon say?
Susan Sarandon says, you peed your pants. Anyway, it just keeps
What does Two-Face say?
You peed your both of your pants.
Really quick, what does Spencer say?
Smith says, oh, you peed your pants in the back. I better clean that out. Better get all these Bell Tacos out of here.
That sounds kind of like an American The Beatles.
Yeah.
It does.
American The Beatles.
Oh, Wichita, Liverpool. Poland.
They're from Steakpool.
No, but I was... I live in London. We've all, you've been in the situation where you're like, you know, at Fox, or you're on the other side, you're in Santa Monica or something like that, and you leave a meeting, you're going, oh, hello, all right, great talking to you, all right, we'll see you later. And you go, kind of go to the bathroom, I'll be fine, and I'll go to the bathroom when I get home. So I drive from, I'm driving from over by Santa, by Fox, driving down Olympic to get to Los Feliz, where I live. And halfway there, I go, shit, I have to pee. And it gets worse and worse. And I'm like, I'm doing the butt dance in the car going, oh, God damn it, another red light. And I just like... Oh, and like it's starting to hurt, and I'm crossing my, and uncrossing my legs, and I'm doing like the thigh slap, and I'm turning up the air conditioner, rolling up and down the windows, and I'm just
rolling them up and down.
Up and down. I'm just keeping my mind on other stuff, and I'm just like, okay, just hold on.
All
and
the tricks.
Yeah.
He had a rabbit in the glove box.
Staring at sponges.
I get to that place on Virgil where it's like, you know, next to the Kentucky Fried Chicken or whatever. And at one point, I like go, I could go to the Kentucky Fried Chicken at this red light, run out, take a piss, and come back. But for some reason, my brain, thinking that there was like a toilet,
right,
it started going,
yeah, no, that's
time
what
to
happens.
Open up the floodgates. Yeah. And I go, crap, and grab my crotch.
Yeah.
And kind of tap it off,
yeah,
you know?
Like a tourniquet.
And then everything else goes whoop, all the way up to where my things are. And I'm like, okay, well,
wait,
this is...
like a snake swallowing a mouse? Like, what do you mean?
Okay. Okay.
For those of us with a
penis, Jeff.
Right, yes.
It's a hose, okay?
Right.
Pretend like it's a garden hose, and you turned on the water, and the water's going up to the top.
So it would resemble a snake swallowing a mouse.
It's throwing up a mouse. It's not swallowing anything.
I think the mouse is the pee, is she saying?
Yeah, the mouse is
You'll have
is
to
the...
forgive her. She hasn't seen a penis in a month.
All right. Well, anyway, most guys know when you do that, you're beyond the point of no return, because the minute you go like this,
yeah,
it's everywhere. And this was with the pants on, so it's like I'm dead man walking right here, because yeah, I can drive home with one hand, but the minute I walk out of the car next to the fucking Armenian people that live next door to me that hate me and I hate them because they park me in, I'm going to open up the door, holding my crotch, looking at them. They're looking at me with their fat, ugly, retarded kids. And just, I'm just going to be like, you know, and I should have done this. I should have said, boom, this is what you wanted to see, people. Fireworks.
But I'm human.
Yeah, but I didn't give them the satisfaction, you know. And I'm having like this internal dialogue the entire way home, and I'm like going, oh, I really screwed up this time. Really having a bad, like sweaty, hot, painful, really painful. Like I felt like I'm doing some damage. Like the bladder's
right.
Gonna blow up, or this is really somebody's gonna tell me, you know, you really shouldn't have done that. Mr.
I always, yeah, I always think about Abe Simpson and The Simpsons, like when they're the episode where Homer makes his dad hold his pee in the car, and his kidneys explode.
Yeah, I feel. I
always
like
imagine that in my head.
Yeah, I feel like that. You know, I'm getting to that age. You know, I was like, and I'm just driving along, and all these like insecurities of like, oh, Robbie, you peed your pants, or oh, Robbie, you peed your pants.
Is that a mouse
Robbie,
in your
you
penis?
Peed your pants, Robbie. They're all
the
flying
only thing
by.
We have
Robbie,
to fear
peed
is
pants.
Fear itself.
It's a retro. 4 score and 7 years ago, you peed your pants.
For some reason, Wesley Snipes comes through a scene from Demolition Man.
Pants, like, always bet on Rob peeing his pants. And I kind of like just said to the universe, and I said, you know something? At the time, I'm 39 years old. I'm an adult. I can do whatever the fuck I want. And I went, boom! And I pissed all over myself, and I said, it's my car, my pants, my life, and it's... I drove home with the...
Take that, Obama!
Drove it down. The music was cracked, and the very first thing I did after I pissed my pants, like, I put my headset on, and I called Ryan Ridley, and I go, guess what I just did? And I told him the whole thing, and he said, so badass, man. He told him, agreed with me. That's what you get.
Heroes come in all sizes. I learned that from Willow.
Let's play some D&D.
Yeah, let's play.
Sorry that was long and forced in there, but I had to.
No,
share.
That's what we were building to. And in answer to your question from before, why did they get quiet? Audiences are conditioned when people start talking about human shit to expect a dramatic evolution to happen. Because it's always darkest before the dawn. They know from storytelling in their bones.
It's
like,
always darkest.
They're literally talking about fecal matter. So it can't get any worse, which means there's going to be some kind of bloom of humanity. A triumph.
Unless Dino's here.
In which case, yeah, there's more to go.
Yeah, if we could go deeper.
I really I keep trying to get Dino down here.
He won't get him down here.
Yeah, it's hard to wrangle.
He keeps
him.
On peeing in the car on the way over.
He's a free spirit. I sometimes
that was
think
a
Dino
one-time
is a,
thing. I'm not like peeing my pants. I'm not walking into a boardroom and going, "Hey, how you doing?"
Don't apologize to these 25-year-olds. They don't know. They don't know what it's
I'm
like.
Apologizing to the would-be hirers.
These guys
my...
are 7 years past not peeing their pants for real.
I think. What? Really?
Yeah, they're that young. They're like, oh shit, I'm working this. Just give me a glow stick. I'm gonna rave. I just stopped peeing my pants. But you and I are in a new. We're Gandalf the White. We got killed by a Balrog. Yeah. We don't give a fuck.
That's how I felt. Like I felt like Gandalf. It was just like if I walked in, you know, like just came in, you know, and. Just, piss everywhere.
Yeah, I felt the same way when I was walking home from that soccer practice.
Like you felt like a hero? You shouldn't have. You were a monster. You trail of piss behind you.
Well, my car was were my shoes, my feet. Let's play some D&D.
What happened? And somebody... Okay.
Yes, let's.
I don't, but I can see the clock now through the paper. Somehow
stop,
that
stop looking at it.
I can see what time it is.
I forgot about the game, so I'm going to lose anyway.
Can I read? Look, can I read? Can we use this music for me to read one Reddit comment that I got today in the community subreddit in response to me talking about how I don't like it when people no. Well, okay, you can play the music again in a second. This is a comment in response to me starting a thread where I expressed the emotion. Didn't want. I don't care about the debate. I don't care. I expressed the emotion, which made me feel a lot better. I'm in a very good mood because I did this today. I expressed the fact that when people blame season 4 on season 3, it makes me want to kill myself. It makes me want to barf and die. It bums me out. It doesn't mean stop doing it. Doesn't mean you're wrong. Doesn't mean anything. I just want to say... reading when I stumble into a Reddit thread where somebody like eventually brings up, and they often do, like, well, if you think about it, the reason season four sucked is because season three did this, this, and that. And
what's the, I mean,
I'm just saying it bums me out. I don't want to hash it out.
I know you want to hash it out.
Because then it's misquoted tomorrow in a thing, and it's what. But I just want to read this one. I quote this.
I don't get it.
And it's great. If, you know, if people shower me with praise, and I'm not complaining about anything, I want to read this one comment that I got in addition to all the amazing things people say to me all the time online. I have a great life, more than I deserve. I have nothing to complain about.
You are more than you deserve.
I'm not a martyr. I don't have a bad life. I'm rich and satisfied, and I do everything I want to do. But I think this is just a funny thing that I received as a comment amidst the other comments. So cue the music. Shut up, you faggot.
So wrong.
Your show is a worthless... Oh, sorry. God damn, I fucked it up.
Start it over for the edit. Boop! Go. Wow. Dustin, that was for you to sync the audio for your feral audio. You can sync the audio there. For your podcast, sync the audio to the time track so the tracks are timed.
Is it possible to dim a light?
Dustin, another person that hates my guts on Instagram. All right, go.
All right, more on
no,
that.
No, backstory, fuck it.
All right. All right. Shut up, you faggot. Your show is worthless, and so are you. If you weren't a worthless piece of shit, you could make good TV. Like Breaking Bad. But you're worthless. So just wait until this season lives up to nobody's expectations. Fails to please the network, gets canned, and you kill yourself. Fag! Well, it's over. That's it.
Keep pretending
you're
reading.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's a still photo? Okay. Fag!
Ooh, I think I'll be using Mayfair on this one. Mayfair, definitely a Mayfair situation.
What do you think that commenter's definition of fag is?
Someone who won't read his pilot.
Let's play some D&D! Here we go. Dungeons and Dragons time.
Oh.
Let's welcome to the explaining Spencer Crittenden.
What? What am I... Explain... Can you explain just... that?
I didn't know how to articulate. Take it away, Spencer. I guess I should have said, take it away, Spencer.
I think it's 9/11 right now.
You're early. Rob wins. Lights
oh,
up.
My God. I'm the smartest person on stage, finally.
Anatoly, will you come to the stage really quick? Anatoly, while we're waiting for the cake, will you just list everything that you like? Just words, not sentences. Like, I like sugar.
I hate sugar.
Just say words that you like.
Don't give him cake. He's got a bow in his hair.
Talk about the bow. Yeah, let's talk about the bow, because it's right in my face.
Yeah. All right, we're going to sing happy birthday to Jeff Davis, who is... Well,
who we are honoring tonight by replacing him.
Who is dear to our hearts and so wonderful. He was traveling a lot this month, so let's wish, let's sing it. He'll listen to this episode.
Happy birthday, Jeff.
There you go.
By the way, I hate the happy birthday song.
Isn't it copyrighted? Like, are we in trouble?
Yeah. What?
Isn't it a copyrighted song?
Now, you know what we can do? Can we edit this in? Because nobody's in. You know what I do? Because I hate the happy birthday song because I have a theory. Nobody wants to sing it and nobody wants to hear it. Right?
Let's change that. What do you
Everybody's
wanna...
just kind of sitting there going, ah, man. Because it sounds like you're in church right now. Ah, man, ah, man, man. And then just some idiot in the background harmonizing, and you just say, boo. Happy birthday to you. Like, shoot that guy. What we do, Kate and I's birthday, we sing Eddie Murphy. So we sing Eddie Murphy. Can we do that real quick?
No, it's the same song. You're just...
No, it's not. It's Eddie Murphy to you.
It's the same song. Same song.
Eddie Murphy to you.
If that...
But we're all smiling. Eddie Murphy.
He loves it. You love it if you can put your stink on it.
Yes.
Yeah, you're an artist. You demand cultural efficacy.
Nobody likes a happy birthday song.
Well, Rob.
Nobody likes hearing it. No one likes singing it. It's just one of these bullshit things that we fucking do. And I know we're cutting into Dungeons and Dragons.
Rob.
It's fine.
First of all, congrats on your win. Second of all, I agree with you. I hate the happy birthday song. But what I hate more than the happy birthday song is when you're like Benihana or wherever, and they have their own like happy birthday sprinkles and a thing and a we'll take it all the like their own.
Just sing Eddie Murphy.
So you just don't like the lyrics. You don't like saying happy birthday.
I don't like.
He just wants control. He's just a control freak.
Let me ask you a question.
He talks about winning and losing games and things. He's a control freak.
That is not true.
Where did you guys meet? What was the first night that you two met?
A control convention. He was
hosting
running
a panel.
I like how you say, Rob's a control freak.
I didn't say I wasn't.
Dan Harmon says Rob's a control freak. Puts him in his place. How dare you come on Harmontown and say you're a control freak?
Okay, I didn't say I wasn't.
We get along because of it. I don't like the birthday song. I don't like hearing it. On my birthday, I'm sitting there, everybody's looking at me singing this funeral dirge of a song that these two old money-grubbing ladies going, every time somebody sings it, we get 10%. Fuck you. Fuck you.
Rob, what did you... Do you remember the first moment that you saw Dan?
Yes.
Tell me about it.
I think so. What was it? We were doing stand-up in Los... We're doing stand-up in Milwaukee at the L.A. Freeway. I've told this story too many times. And I was playing, like, make tracks because I was nervous because I was about to do stand-up for the first time, and I think...
What is a make track?
It's a video game, coin-operated video game. It was a third-tier Pac-Man ripoff. Anyone?
Okay. There was a barrel hoop and a stick.
When you said make track, I thought that
and
was an
old...
the object
was to keep the hoop rolling.
I had a bowler hat on.
I thought that was an antiquated term for mixtape.
It was all sepia tone.
And we were like
going... I was like, boy...
I didn't know what it was either.
I'm about to go up next. I hope I can figure this out.
He said it, my first impulse was to imagine a 25-year-old Rob like touching like a... some kind of touchpad thing on the bar of a thing, but then realizing we didn't even have cell phones back then.
You had hurdy-gurdies.
Like, in the movies, like, you knew someone was rich because they would pull out a giant VHS cassette-sized phone.
No one
had cell phones.
This is how...
We were walking around a wasteland, and people would walk up, and they'd have, like water, like a gallon of water tied around their waist, and you'd run a Geiger counter over
this
it.
This is how
and
old...
And they'd be like, what's a little fallout between friends, eh? I'm sorry, that's Thunderdome.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds very post-apocalyptic.
This is how old we are, because remember when we were growing, back in the early 90s, this was actually like another thing. Like the cell phone, you knew somebody in a movie was a douche if they pulled out their car keys and went...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nobody had.
Douchebag! How dare you, Richie Rich!
Rich. Yeah. Richie Rich with your remote control car lock. Did what does that mean?
Yeah. Oh, man. I remember when we got our first cell phones and our phone numbers were one number apart because Rob got them for both of us.
Oh.
Because we had just become producers on a yes. TV pilot. And we needed our phones.
And we kept, and somebody
we were the
said,
only people that didn't have phones.
Robin Harvey, give me your numbers. And
like, so Rob, tell me about
414.
When you first...
414.
Rob, when you first...
Ooh, the lover's package. Got that all the time.
Rob, when you first saw Dan, what was...
It was, you know, kind of a Wayne's World moment of, you know, star filters.
Did you see him on stage first or in person?
Probably. I think I remember seeing you. You did stand up before I did, and you were 18 and I was 21.
Rob, what was Dan's point of view at that time as a stand up?
You want to know what his act was like?
Yeah, like if you're like a very big fan of Jen Kirkman, who talks about not wanting to... Yeah, Jen Kirkman's great. As an example, her point of view is that she doesn't necessarily... Well, she has this book, so...
We'll get to the Dungeons and Dragons. Just quit looking at me for 2 seconds.
So Jen Kirkman is independent and open about her neuroses and not wanting to have children. What was Dan Harmon's point of view at that time?
I only remember really titles of
I know my closer was a rap about masturbation.
Right?
So nothing has
you
changed.
Did it, you
and a
did.
Good a good 8 minutes of Jeffrey Dahmer jokes.
Yeah.
Who was eating people at the time. Yeah. So
right,
it was a hot,
Milwaukee,
funny topic.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I got a story about that. You had like a bit about like Johnny Carson fucking Ed McMahon in the butt.
Yeah, I mean this isn't gonna make anyone happy.
Well, my stand up was like, oh, what if Batman was taking a shit when the bat signal came up?
I'm gonna ask this question of both of you. You both are. What year is this?
92.
It might have been 91 because I was.
Oh,
turning.
I was.
I was turning... I was about to turn 92, and I... No, fuck.
Okay, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I was about to turn 22, and I wanted to be a stand-up comedian while I was 21.
Okay, it doesn't matter. So you're both club promoters in 1991, and neither of you are comics, but you're familiar with the other person.
Correct.
You have, like, one in the newspaper. They're like, look, like, Dan Harmon's coming to the Chuckle Bucket. How do we plug it, the show? What do you both say as club promoters to promote the other person, knowing what you knew about each other at the time?
At the time?
Come see Dan Harmon. Like come see Nelly Furtado.
Is that your stage name?
No, I have this playlist, this 90s playlist. Come see Nelly Furtado. She sings about freedom. Yes, but please don't. You don't have to say what, audience. I can hear you. Just like how do you describe this? How do you promote the other person? Come see Carrot Top. His props will bring you to a grave of laughter.
Go easy on them, folks. They're just starting out.
Yeah, there was a lot. There was a lot of that. Like after, you know, like I would do stand up, and then like the guy who was like the MC of the night, like, give it up. Comedy's hard, guys. Come on. Come on.
This isn't easy, folks.
Come on.
What do you think you can do better? That was Rob Schraub, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
Well, that's a given because you guys are starting out, and this is something I've asked you about before, and I can't get a straight answer. But like, what were you guys talking about?
I was 17 years old.
I know. But as an exercise,
I did it.
How do you, in a like, you're a club promoter? What are your three
come
sentences?
Come see Rob Schraub.
You're describing
new acts like that. Do you?
No, Spencer. It's a hypothetical. Like
he's,
as if they're
trying
not.
To, she's trying to. Figure out a way for us to answer the question.
By the way, this is not Aaron McGathy.
Can't hypothetical situations usually exist, though?
Well, what? No, because they're hypothetical.
Well, they could. Like, in theory, that's why you do it. You don't do, like, hypothetically, what if an ape, you know, ate a thing? I guess that could
happen. I mean, don't. There's no need to shut down my bet.
I think Dan knows what you're talking about.
Do you want this to be grounded or emotionally driven? Do you want to? Do you mean like?
Is there a difference?
In the grounded version, it would just be the literal.
No, I do not want it to be grounded. I want to know what kind of comedy you were doing at the time.
Oh,
I want
okay.
You,
Rob
like,
was
as
doing.
As if like at that moment, but I want you to present it as okay. Club promoter.
All right.
It's not a crazy thing.
You don't have to be defensive about it.
Well, I'm being defensive towards Spencer, who last week said defensive. That we were in different generations.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
By 5 years. All right, anyway.
All right. We're getting bogged down in stuff that
we
it's
are.
Not.
I, wow. I just... It, I'm so sorry that now I'm committing to this, but I... But I'd really like to know.
If I may, I think you're not asking for like a performance-driven thing. You just want to know what it was like. Like, give us the experience, right?
I assume that you guys were starting out, so I don't need to know that like it was amateur or whatever. I just want to know what your point of view at the time was. I just found out that Dan was making jokes about Jeffrey Dahmer, which is really interesting. I'm just curious how you would plug the other person. If they were the hypothetical,
here's
is that
thing.
The other person
think,
is a famous comic, how do you plug that person?
Right. I think this is I fell in love with Dan's act before I fell in love with him because he would do what I liked was talking about pop culture, and I was obsessed and still am with like pop culture. And
so what would so as a club promoter, what would you say?
Come see Dan Harmon.
They can't hear. This is a newspaper.
I don't know.
I think it's 9/11 again. Yeah. But not on the clock.
Yeah.
This is a rubble and corpse-based observation.
Dan Harmon's witty observational humor about oversized women doing in the elevator at college. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah. Like,
okay. See his impressive impressions of Ed McMahon having sex with Johnny Carson. Can you believe it? Could you imagine? So those are like the kind of zaps that are happening next.
Perfect.
I don't want to do the club promoter thing. I just want to tell you my favorite like Schraub's stand up thing that like.
Would you humor me and just do the club promoter thing before you explain the Schraub?
Schraub, come see a guy who looks like a young version of Michael Stipe doing pussy and Batman jokes.
Okay.
Okay. So, but Rob,
did
Rob,
I do pussy jokes?
I'm blowing
nah,
through it, man.
You're right. I probably did a lot of pussy jokes.
Rob's opening thing was that he would say, "There's a."
Oh,
he would say like, "There's a." He would do an impression of. Shit, I don't know how you would tee it up, and he would go like, "What if Tonto?" From Lone Ranger and McCoy from Star Trek both ended up on a planet full of dead people. and you're like, it would be Tonto going, "Him dead, Kimosabe. He's dead, Jim. Him dead, Kimosabe. He's dead, Jim." And then the punchline was Rob saying, like, and then there's a split screen and it's just the two of them and they're like, "Him dead, Jim. Kimosabe? He's dead, Jim." And then they were both crying because they missed the Lone Ranger and Jim.
I forgot about the split screen.
Yeah. The split screen's the funny part because it was stand up that had a split screen. Yeah. That's what I was like, I love this guy.
Yeah.
His stand up has a split screen in it.
What was the fat woman in the elevator joke?
Just a horrible Asperger child thinking that the reason people, not everyone did Andrew Dice Clay's act is because they were afraid to do it. Like I did not understand comedy. I was a terrible stand-up. It was terrible material.
Everyone here respects you a whole lot and knows that you're great.
I accept that, but I was doing terrible.
You know, I go to Marquette. Was it Marquette that you kind of went to and then left?
Yes.
Okay, so you go to Marquette and you're in the dorm and you go, and I'm sitting there. Do you want me to word for word?
No, I don't, because I'm embarrassed about it.
It is embarrassing. I'm embarrassed to say it because we see
17.
Okay, I'm going to say instead of cunt, C word, all right?
Because I thought that was acceptable to say. That's how out of touch I was.
But even back then,
right. No,
even back then in 91, the whole room went, ah!
No, you don't Jesus. Say the C word in your stand-up act, like just
stop
throwing it out.
Stop saying that word. It's the word. No, it was just like, I go to Marquette, and I'm going to the dorm, and, and I get in the elevator, and I press 1, and there's these fat C words that are there. And they say, couldn't you take the stairs? And I go, okay, I'll get off on 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 and take the stairs. Bye-bye!
Yeah, it was terrible. Like it was awful.
But it got...
No, it didn't. No one laughed. Everyone was sad for me.
But it was still like, okay.
They could see from my acne that I was young enough that it was weird that I was there. So it was like,
you were,
yay!
You were 17, 18?
I was not 18 and he was not 17. I was 21 and he was 18, and I actually got him in trouble because the woman that I was dating was the girl that I was dating that was absolutely dating 5 other guys at the same time she was a waitress at the bar, and we were living together at the time when she was not having sex with everybody else in the world, and I'm rolling over. You know, Dan's funny, right? Yeah, whatever. You know, he's only 18, and he's so much funnier than me. I don't understand it. What? He's 18? I've been serving him drinks. Shit! And I got Dan kicked out of the bar.
Ended my burgeoning stand-up career.
Right.
About fat cunts.
That was our first... That was
Jeffrey
our first
Thomas.
That's so
like,
many other
encounter.
Body sizes. So many
first
other
encounter,
modes
I was
of
playing Matrix, and I was worried because I was about to do my first stand-up open mic, and somebody told Dan, I said, hey, Rob's nervous, and you came over, and you said, hey, brother, don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. And walked away, and I felt like, you know, it is going to be fine.
With this woman, was it a secret that she was dating other people, or had you kind of, like, signed up for
to
that?
To everybody, not to me it was, but everybody else was fucking her, yeah.
Oh, you didn't know that she was going out?
Eventually I did, after I found out she was having sex with everyone, yes.
Aww. Come on out, Tammy. She's full of holes. Come on, guys. I'm not
suffering. No, she's a crazy sociopath. Awful person. Terrible.
I gotcha. What was there must have been a moment between the two of you that was like your big bonding moment where you're like sitting at the edge of a dock throwing rocks into a river. Like, what was your like...
It's a big, great world,
what
man.
What was your thing? Like,
I don't know.
What was there the moment was like that solidified your friendship?
I think it was a slow burn, you know. I think we were always, like...
What was that? That was that party, the comedy sports party, where, somebody took me aside and gave me the don't get cocky speech at our local improv troupe, like an old-timer.
Oh, it's a good thing to do for a 32-year-old man to say to an 18-year-old, hey, watch yourself.
You're doing great. Just don't make the mistake all the other greats have made. Yeah. Don't get cocky.
You think you're going to win the Wisconsin cheese comic competition.
Yeah.
You're not good enough for that.
Yeah.
And then I was like, man, it kind of ruined my evening, and then I was driving home with Rob, and I was like, man, I'm bummed out. And he's like, why? I was like, so-and-so took me aside to the pickle pantry and told me not to get cocky. And Rob's like, what the fuck? I just got told by so-and-so not to get cocky at the other party, man. And I was like, what the fuck? Wait, this is a conspiracy. We're not cocky. They just don't want us to get cocky. Like, wait, all right. And I said, let's make a pact. If you get cocky, I'll tell you. I'll know. If I get cocky, you tell me. And until then, let's get fucking cocky.
Which
nice.
Which leads us to this intervention that we all invited
you to. Which leads us to this great show.
Dan, you're getting cocky.
Oh, shit, goddammit.
I'm going to throw it to Spencer.
Will Brady Street please come out here? We want to talk to you. Okay, you want to edit that out.
All right, come on, let's shit, man, fucked up.
Yes, I mean, yes, Dungeons and Dragons.
No, I mean,
sorry.
Oh, really?
I like talking about your friendship. Everyone should really look up to this friendship. They've worked together and created so many things together and been friends for so long, and it's really wonderful. Dan performed Rob's wedding.
That's true. Dan married me. Finally, after all these years of me wanting you to marry me, you finally married me to my wife.
Yeah. I mean, friendship is something to look up to.
What? You're going to take that away from me?
It was a sweet moment,
and you went, I think that's bullshit. What?
I don't know. I mean, maybe this is tainted by me being a Navy kid who moved around a lot. But
and you're
like...
looking fucking weird tonight. The shoulders are what are bothering
me. This is Dan's Emmy jacket.
Yes.
Oh, no, this is a different jacket.
No,
this
that's Zachary's jacket.
Did you guys see the way that I tie this tie?
No, it's a podcast. Yeah. All right.
You need some fog and tombstones.
Where's our characters?
I don't know. Are we good?
Yeah, do it.
Okay. Last time, our heroes had found themselves in a room full of stone lions and chains.
Ooh,
Sharpie climbed one and made everything rumble for a while, and everyone fruck out and climbed on top of the lions. Lava poured out of the mouth of the lions. Of the lions covered the hot... This is... You were in a fucking room. Lava showed up. You climbed on some top of some statues. And then you heard Admiral Darkstar. He's like... And then Robo Breffy showed up. And he was like, I'm Robo Breffy. That's what happened.
We're going to have to bring the lights way up because I can't see shit. And I didn't bring my glasses, and that's not... Like,
old age sucks.
Anybody
Spencer
else?
Spencer Crittenden, everybody!
Yeah.
All right, I don't want to derail the show.
Wait a minute. I'm Kumail and Jeff?
No, that shouldn't be...
I'm just Kumail.
Yeah, what happened?
I'm Jeff.
Okay, I love it.
Is there something wrong? Then sort of.
No, I was Jeff last time I was here. Now I'm Kumail. All right.
Okay, so
I think heroin's doing the heavy lifting. Heroin's doing the heavy lifting.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
That's Kumail's stand-up act. He's a friend of yours, and you don't ever listen to his stuff.
I'm busy.
No. You're busy.
I cast
you
him.
You were
he's
off
coming
a year.
He's going to be in next week's episode. He's going to be in a scene with Nathan Fillion.
Glad you saved that before my episode, which is the following week. Applaud.
Shrab's directing a couple of community episodes. All right. Well, we need a young lady or an old lady in the audience I sometimes say, anybody that feels like they deserve to or would be healed by participating by playing Aaron's character. We got a hand up in the front row.
What is your name, young lady?
What's your name, my friend?
Why do you want this so bad?
I don't know. Everyone was pointing at me in the front row. So.
What is your name? You look like
not
a prettier
a
version
answer.
Of Alanis Morissette.
Oh, I'm going as Alanis Morissette for Halloween, actually.
Oh, nice. Which version?
Her thank you video. So.
Whoa, naked.
Oh, yeah. I have, like, tan tights, and then, like, I bought hair extensions that are going to be really long. And then, yeah.
Did you just put that jacket on, or you've been wearing this
nice.
Whole time?
Nice. What is your name?
Whole time.
My name is Leah.
Leah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Leah. All right.
Organa.
Boy.
Nerdmel. You wanted to come up here.
Kind of.
Yeah. All right. Are you? Or do you know? Do you know what you're looking at? See, no, I think there's some screw ups here. Is that? Oh, okay. No, that's good. That's good. You're good. It's a sheet of paper filled with things that no one understands. And your name is Mulrain. You're sort of
a magical, nice. You have a lot of integrity, but also, you know, maybe you're sometimes not very logical. You're a very optimistic person. You do have a box of crafts and tools.
I know that I like putting on shows.
Yeah. All right.
True.
This is what I got to do to read this now. Look at what I'm doing.
He's holding it out very far.
So
because we're old and our bodies
God
are dying.
God damn it.
All right.
My birthday's next month. Don't forget, Dan. Start. You know, good skimming Amazon. Hey, whoa. Whoa. Now we do Wesley Snipes on my birthday. That's actually a good idea, Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes Day to you.
I like Eddie Murphy.
All right, so where are we? Ha ha!
I already told you guys where you are.
But I'm Jeff.
That's cool.
Did we escape the lava?
Okay, so currently you guys are sitting on statues that are kind of islands in this lava.
Is there a roof?
The roof, as it happens, can't
be
seen.
It's on fire!
Not quite.
Okay, it will be, though,
with
the lava.
It's full of chains. It's full of these chains. It's like a jungle gym of chains.
Right, and Breffy came crawling down.
Yeah, so he's in these chains above you, above your heads.
Question, are we in the middle of the room, or are we off to the side of the room, or are we, like one fourth of the way?
Yeah, you're about a quarter into the room from the walls.
I get it. Is there an opening on if I Donkey Kong Jr. swung from the chains over to is there a place for me to go? Is there a point A and B in this?
You can kind of jump amongst these chain like tangle of chains, but that's all you can manage.
There's no way out.
No, well, the only way that was. The way in was a door, and that's covered in lava.
Okay. Are there any free-floating bunches of bananas or oranges that might be of value?
Nope, just chains on the walls, hanging from the ceiling.
And we were on top of these stone lions when Breffy came down. I am, at least.
Yep.
Okay, so Breffy's down, and he's mad.
You don't know his emotions.
I'm about to find out, because they call me, in this game, the great communicator. Breffy, it's me, Sharpie, of the famous Dirty Four.
Oh, okay.
I imagine you're angry with us for destroying your brethren and then murdering you while Jeff fucked you. If I'm getting that right. It was a weird night, and I think that's how it ended.
I tie the yarn that I have in my around my head like a bow, so I seem less intimidating.
You seem less intimidating.
But we have been through a lot since then, as have you, and we only ever feel remorse when we talk about what happened that night. And we feel, although we're biased, that
destroy.
That's enough. You didn't let me finish.
Destroy.
Okay, if you're going to be rude, you're going to start to put me in a social corner. And
I think we need to start yanking on these chains. I think we got to start pulling and yanking on chains. Everybody grab it. Even the women, just drag, yank on these chains as hard as we can. We might open up a trap door that's inverted and sneak out, or a thing. Or, you know, just start yanking on the closest chain. Everybody got a I got two. So, you got a close chain that you can yank on? Because maybe, I mean, they got to exist for some reason. It's all yank on a chain. Somebody? Anyone? Come on. All right. Where the both of us are yanking on some chains. I don't see any chain yanking on your end of the line.
I want to cast mage armor.
Okay.
And yank on a chain.
Thank you. How we doing over there, Quark? You want to yank on a chain, or are you too awesome?
No, I am certainly not too awesome. I will. I'm going to really quick, and this is outside of the game. One of my special abilities says illiterate.
Yeah. It's a condition affecting millions of Americans.
You framed it as a special ability for... Yeah.
The country's gotten that bad.
Hey, man, I don't know what
it
says.
We just decided to...
I just follow my heart. I don't know what that
You'll
sign
notice
says.
There's no handicap section on the character sheet, so you have to put it somewhere.
One of my special abilities right. says...
Whoa, guest star, come on.
One of my special abilities says, Coco! Exclamation point.
Yeah.
That is a horse and your soulmate?
Yeah.
Oh, right. get your horse to yank on a
also
chain.
Also not a special.
My horse.
With his mouth.
Coco's not here.
I yank on a chain.
You're all yanking on chains.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Coco.
They're just tangled up and bolted to the walls, so it's like doing nothing pretty much.
All right, I jump down and I punch.
You jump down into the lava?
No, I don't jump down into lava.
Then where do you jump down to?
To the top of one of the statues.
You're on the statues.
You're on the. All right. How far away is Breffy? Where is he?
He's up in this chains. He's about 30 feet off ahead of you. He's kind of in the middle of them.
Yanking.
Okay, I use my climbing ability. I tie one of my knives to my head with my yarn.
Okay.
And I go up to him like a Norwal, and I stab him in the face.
What?
Gary Gygax just cried out in the audience.
He rolled over in his dice.
Yeah. So leaping into
Nothing?
The chains.
Come on.
Try to remember that I have the skill of illiteracy.
Yeah. Barbarians can't read. It's not a joke. They didn't learn how to read.
Number one special ability is illiteracy.
They were too busy murdering people.
You should also put height.
Well, illiterate's a real rule. It's you have to, like, if you were like, I read a sign. No, you don't. You're illiterate. It's important to, like, height is...
No,
like,
I understand.
Also, height's on there. So.
I think our point is that if this game were modern, it would have special disabilities on it.
Okay, so I'm Norwalling Breffy.
Can you edit out the 8-minute pause before my lame joke? Make it seem like that gem came right out of my fucking idiot brain.
It's your show, man. So
I'm a barbarian. I go in a barbarian mini rage, and I Norwal Breffy.
Okay, so rules wise, is that a real rage or not a real rage?
It's a real rage.
Okay. So leaping into a rage, you climb through these things and you get so crazy you don't even know what you're doing. You're just headbutting a guy with a dagger in your face. It doesn't do any damage because that's not how daggers should be used.
The universe says this was the wrong use for the dagger, so gravity pulls it down. What do you
no,
mean?
No, how it works is if you were a trained warrior, for instance, who like knew how to use a dagger, you would be a lot less accurate with hitting something if it were instead tied to your head. Because, you know, you're used to using with your arms.
But everyone knows where their head is.
Yeah, but it's not a warrior technique. It's just flailing around.
Well, fine.
Question.
It's not as effective. So, I mean, I rolled it.
Can we do a Kickstarter to fund a pilot that's just Spencer and Aaron driving? and her just asking questions about Dungeons and Dragons. What was your question, Rob?
How long is my ribbon rope?
It only goes about 15 feet.
Don't try to use it creatively.
Just don't try to tie it to your body.
I'm not.
Why would you not tie
it?
People tie things to their bodies all the time.
They really don't.
Okay. So I'm thinking about doing something with a ribbon rope, but it depends on how is the lava is rising, right?
Slowly.
Okay.
Breffy is where?
He's up above you in this web.
You're trying to save her.
Of chains.
Yeah. I'm not complaining about this because I like it, but you seem angry tonight.
It's cool.
Spencer, is everyone kind of freaked out by me stabbing around with my head? Like, do I gain some sort of intimidation points by acting like a lunatic?
No, he says this is a guy who doesn't know how to use the weapons I see on his, you know, body.
Fair enough.
He's got a flaming sword. He ties a dagger to his
where
head.
Am I in this? Where am I? Where? Hey, am I on the same line? Am I on the same line as them?
You're on separate lines.
Okay, I'm gonna start like shouting really loud in a high pitched voice.
Okay,
like typecasting.
Hey, knock it off over there. Bigger fish.
Nice.
The lava's getting larger, right?
Right.
Yeah. So we gotta find a way out. I say we give the pulling on the chains one more try, and then we'll think of something else because maybe we could commit to it a little bit more and not think it's a stupid idea. I think the attitude had a lot to do with it not working. I saw a lot of eye rolling while they were pulling on chains, you know.
Do I fit in my backpack? I'm a halfling. Do I fit in my backpack?
Yeah, no, that's a fine question. Halflings have like halfling sized backpacks. So unless it was like a Hewards handy haversack, for instance,
she could fit in one of our backpacks.
She could fit in a normal sized backpack.
Maureen, can I have your backpack?
Or a bag of holding?
Okay, when do I get another turn? It's like
I don't care. Someone do something.
Well, I'm
not going to do anything until it's, you know, my guy's turn.
You don't have to be pouty.
I do.
You control the universe. If you
You're
pout,
roll
the sun
initiative.
Melts.
Why don't you roll initiative? Roll some initiative, and then we can figure this out. There you go. Dan, you go first.
All right, here's what I would like to do.
That's why you roll initiative, so this shit doesn't happen. So we can all stay friends by the end of this. We got Jeff Davis's party to go to afterwards.
It's a good point, Rob. I should roll initiative to keep things on track.
Right. That is true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Teleport cape. Mm-hmm. Onto this fucking arachnid asshole's back. Can I teleport onto his back?
You can definitely try.
All right.
What's he doing on my back? Oh, different Zorro, asshole.
You teleport onto his back. You're up on it. You can see the back of his head. It's all covered in metal plates.
Yeah.
I take my Norwald dagger and I shamefully pull it off my head. I put it in my pocket. And I try to read something and can't. What do you guys think of this drawing? Is this waves?
What does my sunrod do?
It's like a torch.
What did you say?
Sheds light.
What?
Sheds light.
Oh, it sheds light. Man.
Like the sun in a rod. Yeah, you will.
We're not fighting anything. We're just trying
to.
No. Well, I mean, technically you are.
We're fighting.
Speaking of which, I'm just going to go. He shoots chains at all of you guys.
Pull on him! Everybody, pull on the chain! Just.
All right. Kumail gets hit.
He's not here.
Christopher gets hit.
Okay. Ow! Is there a hook on the end of the chain?
Yeah, it stabs into your chest, and you feel it kind of grinding around inside your body.
I've been Hellraiser'd.
Yeah, you have. Yeah, you take 8 damage.
I have a spell.
Hope you're keeping track of that. I don't got a pencil.
Oh, I am.
Lorraine's got a spell.
I have a spell called Entangle.
Yeah.
That sounds promising.
Can okay.
Cast that.
Casting Entangle. You try and entangle. You kind of try and entangle, but entangling doesn't happen. You see the chains, they start to like shake a little bit, like they might move, but then they don't.
It's okay, Maureen. It's okay.
Sorry, everybody.
Just let me know when it's my turn, man.
You can go.
I don't want to warn. I don't want to alarm.
No, it's Aaron's turn again.
I don't want to alarm anybody, but I kind of starting to have to go to the bathroom. I'm just like saying.
Well, just don't be a hero tonight.
I'm just saying. No, I'm saying it's my life, and we're gonna live it.
Okay, if it's my turn again, because Mulrain and I traded backpacks, and where I have the human backpack, I spit on the backpack, and I wrap my cloak of resistance around the backpack. I poke two holes through the bottom and the sides, and I'm realizing I don't need the backpack. I wear the cloak of resistance. I have it wrapped around me. With my flaming sword, I rush Breathy with the enthusiasm of somebody who doesn't know about the world, i.e. someone who can't read. I run at him.
Use your far sword thing.
I use my far sword thing.
Well, you're... Yeah, okay.
Well, Spencer...
Hey, it's fine. It's okay. Just that you were already really close to him because you wanted to headbutt him, so...
Okay, well, when I say run, I mean, I guess just
okay,
take
don't
a step.
Use your, I'm sorry.
I use my flaming sword, and before I stab him, I look in his eyes, and I say, think about your most vulnerable time. Have you ever peed in your pants? Have you ever pooped in your pants? And maybe Breathy like kind of thinks back, and that's when I stab him between his eyes, and I open my mouth so I can drink his blood.
So, saying those words and clinging to the chains, you stab at him with your flaming sword during his moment of introspection. But you miss, apparently. It's pretty hard to cling to chains while you're swiping with the sword, I guess. So he doesn't. It turns out the most vulnerable moment was when you were raping him.
Jeez.
Just so you know.
Yeah. DVD special features.
So because
not
I don't
funny.
Hit him, do I just fall away like a trapeze?
Nah,
because
you're holding like, onto these chains. You're like close.
So I just kind of like hang out there. And I'm like, ugh.
Yeah,
embarrassing.
Like that. For the podcast listeners, I flailed.
So because I raped him, does that mean that, God.
No, it's unrelated. You just want him to think about that. That's what he thought of.
Right, but I
tried
mean, like, is he more resistant to me? Do you roll an emotional check? Like,
no,
is he more
I just rolled a two.
Okay.
It happens. Putting
well,
it
I just
at
meant
Sharpie's
because, like, we have a history. Like,
definitely.
I didn't know if he was, like...
Right.
Well, that's
right.
Why I thought you were trying to make him think of stuff. Because of your history.
I
just tell me
back
when it's my turn.
I just told you it was your turn.
Is it? Did you?
Yeah.
The last time you did that, you then told Aaron it was her turn.
That's true.
All right.
And you skipped me.
Here we go.
I did
I
not.
I weave you a basket.
He took two turns.
I hate all games.
Shocking grasp on this motherfucker.
All right.
That motherfucker was weak and petty. Shocking grasp. I'm a craftsman about it.
With your arms crackling with electrical energy, you grasp his neck and surging volts of electricity charge into his body, dealing.
Catchphrase, do it.
Yeah, do your catchphrase.
Oh, ice to lightning you.
Hey, you folks at home missed the lamest high five in the world.
Dealing 21 damage.
Nice.
So 21.
Let's throw it to Rob.
All right.
I hope that guy that called me a fag on Reddit is listening.
Thank God.
21.
I was so wrong. I was so wrong. I'm going to ask a question on behalf of our guest star.
Oh, hey, come on.
No, I'm giving it up. Go for it. I mean, I'm here all the time.
Sorry, yeah.
Twice.
Who are the chains around? Sorry, I haven't.
They're just kind of hanging in the ceiling like rafters, like you can climb around.
Yeah, but the chains got shot at me at one point. What are those chains? Did they get retracted?
Stuck in your stomach.
They're stuck in my stomach.
Yeah.
Don't heat the chains.
That's why we were asking.
She's saying, I have a cell that
I can heat up metal, but I can heat up with the chains.
Don't heat up the chains. They're still in my esophagus. No. That's wrong.
And give him a hot snake.
Okay.
No, fish in a barrel.
I'm going to take my round back if that's
yeah,
all right.
Go.
Okay. Shit, man. I mean, can I grab the chains that are.
Yeah.
And I have strength of 13. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try yanking him in. Just yanking him in and go, yeah, you want to do this? You want to do this? And I'm pulling him in. And I'm just, it hurts. The chains in my stomach hurt. It hurts. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt. And it's not bleeding. But I'm like, you know, gritting my teeth. And I'm going, you want this? Kind of hand over hand, pulling him closer to me. I might even do one of those wrapping around my forearm, like an extension cord kind of a thing with the chain. You know what I'm talking about, AV Club. Let's do this. And I'm like pulling him closer. As I'm pulling him closer, my eyes are getting wider. And I'm like going, I'm not going to stop pulling these chains closer until we're nose to nose. And then I'm going to do some yellow post-it note shit on you, motherfucker.
Okay, so
you know, I mean, come on, you can roll it and everything, but that's
rolled it.
Pretty cool to not allow me to do.
It's a really great thing, but
I, as Quark, am very moved by what you're doing, and I want to capture my feelings, so I spit on a piece of paper.
I don't allow that grossness to affect my pulling.
So
I grip my teeth even harder.
He's a lot heavier than you. So like the end result is you're just kind of like pulling yourself towards him.
I'll take it. Can we cliffhanger with us nose to nose?
Cliff,
like
approach
no holds share. Bar with Tiny Lister and Hulk Hogan.
No, sorry, no.
Yeah. Do it back.
What? I missed that whole thing.
I pulled myself closer to him, and we're nose to nose, and we're growling at each other like.
Well, you're growling.
He's not gonna growl back.
He's a robot.
All right.
Did someone put mescaline in our vodka tonight?
All right. So, all right. And say one last thing.
Coco the horse.
Yay!
All right. Thank you, everyone, for coming to Harmontown tonight. Thanks for letting me try to be Jeff. You guys are wonderful. Special thanks to Emily and Dustin Marshall and everyone here. Thank you, Leah and Rob Schraub, everybody. Spencer Crittenden. And I read
all of your comments. I read every comment. I'll find your comments. I read every single comment ever online. I read them all.
I read them all.
Be nice.
I apologize about the mouse and the snake comment, which was very ill received. I appreciate being able to be up here. Thank you very much, Dan Harmon, most wonderful person I've ever met.
Thank you, sweetie.
Thanks, everybody. Yeah.